words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Welcome to another program with Truths to Live By, a ministry of Harriman Baptist Tabernacle in Harriman, Tennessee. You're listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. I pray we would be a blessing to you today.
Oh, sinner, bow down with the load of sin. Come to the cross, come to the cross. In Christ is redemption, new life within. Come and be justified, 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 justified wholly through Christ. The cross is the fountain for every need. Come and be justified.
Their Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. We want to continue our study through this chapter beginning with verse 16. Find your place there and go to the Lord with me in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, I love you today and I thank you for the privilege of preaching on the air. I pray for our radio listeners that you would strengthen them today. Touch their hearts, I pray, through your blessed word. Call sinners unto yourself. And may Jesus Christ receive all the glory. And it is in his precious name we pray. Amen and amen. I call your attention to the first 15 verses, where we have already studied the Christian life and the service of God. The people of God must always keep in mind that our lives are to be lived out within the local assembly of the saints. And Paul is writing to the saints at Corinth, the church of God in Corinth, and whatever they were building their lives with directly affected their local home church. As they labored, as they lived, they were either building up or tearing down the local fellowship. And in view of the coming judgment seat of Christ for the believers, Paul would have them know that God is holding you accountable. And the local church should hold each member accountable today, knowing that we will all stand before the Lord Jesus Christ tomorrow in a coming day. And to be held accountable is that we are liable to be called to account. We are answerable to a superior. So with those thoughts reminding us, we come to verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Now in our text today, we want you to see the Christian church and the Spirit of God. In verses 16 and 17, we see that God has a people for His temple. It has been rightly said that in the Old Testament, God had a temple for His people. But in the New, He has a people for His temple. As we consider verse 16, I see the greatness of the Christian life. You are probably aware of the grandeur and the magnificence of the Old Testament temple of the Jews and even that of the tabernacle. As we look forward to the temple in the book of the Revelation, we think again of magnificence due to the power and glory of God within. See Revelation chapter 15 and verse 8. And as I see here that we are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in us, we must think of the greatness of the Christian life. Yea, we must adorn the temple of God. We must learn early and know that we are the place and the people where God has decided to dwell. I believe Paul is talking collectively about the local assembly here, and that they are to be the temple of God, built up as an habitation of God through the Spirit. And therefore, every individual believer should recall that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in us, which we have of God, and we are not our own, being bought with a price, even the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. Therefore, we ought to glorify God in both our body and our spirit, and therefore we will bring beauty and dignity to the temple of God, which temple we are. But then we must also acknowledge the Spirit of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, Paul says. Paul will deal with this more fully in the 6th chapter. But the Spirit of God, He abides and He resides within the believer. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise unto the day of redemption, the moment that we believe the gospel of our salvation. The Holy Ghost occupies our hearts like a house, and with His presence comes His authority. He is to rule in our lives and prescribe the very way in which we go. He is now the Lord of the house, as He is the Lord of our hearts, and let us always acknowledge Him, lest we grieve Him or quench His work in our life. The greatness of the Christian life. Adorn the temple of God. Acknowledge the Spirit of God. But then the seriousness of the Christian life. Verse 17, if any man defile the temple of God, brethren, we can bring in defilement by ourselves. Oh, what we should keep out of our lives, lest we allow into our hearts corruption and then bring it into the assembly and ruin the unity, the purity, the dignity of God's temple. God says, if any man defile, that is, if you come in and corrupt the local church, may God have mercy upon your soul. We could talk here about church discipline, that discipline that we would keep the assembly pure and free from sin. I believe we have an example in Acts chapter 5, the sin of Ananias and Sapphira. You see just how serious God views sin within the assembly, as you see when He killed both Ananias and Sapphira for lying to the Holy Ghost and bringing sin into the midst of the saints. God hate sin, any sin, all sin, your sin, my sin, and especially within the church. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. If we choose to bring in defilement, then we will bring down destruction upon ourselves. God will bring down ruin upon those whose lives bring in a ruining influence upon the church. If you know the Lord and you bring sin into the house of God, then he will chastise you to bring forth that peaceable fruit of righteousness. But oh, how we should take serious the Christian life and the church of God, lest we bring our sin into the midst and defile the local assembly, the holiness of the Christian life. Notice in the middle of verse 17, for the temple of God is holy. The temple of God, a holy place, means it is a separated place, and it is for a separated people. The holiness of the Christian life. Brethren, our lives ought to reflect the nature of God, which is good and just and right and holy and pure, without sin, without error, without flaws, without failures. Oh, we are going to fail. We are going to sin, but may it never be on purpose. May we live separated lives, walking with God in the power of the Spirit, allowing the Holy Ghost to take the truth of God and the grace of God and sanctify our lives and make us holy. Yes, in our position, we are already holy, but in our practice, day by day, that he could work the truths of the Word of God, the principles of holiness into our very lives for day in and day out living. But number two, God has a program for his temple. As you study the remainder of this chapter, you see that the temple of God operates on heavenly principles. Yea, it operates on heavenly perspectives. We find in the closing verses that all things are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Brethren, I believe again, Paul says, we are all responsible to God and Christ. We thank you for making this ministry a part of your day. And in closing, we want to point you to the words of our Lord in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And truly, it is written. God's word, every word, presents us with truths to live by. You've been listening to Brother Benjamin Cooley. Please send all correspondence to Truths to Live By, P.O. Box 575, Harriman, Tennessee, 37748. Or you can email us at bmarkcooley@gmail.com. And finally, brethren, pray for us.